Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works, 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 13, but exhort one another today, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, or in one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 95, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now God will bless thee, reading from this passage of his word. Let me just for a moment give you a little of the background of the verses that we have read together tonight. You must look back to the book of Numbers. And in the 14th chapter you will find the people of God. And God is dealing with them, having brought them out of Egypt. He has promised them the land of Palestine. And after only a very few months, the people, having crossed the desert land, they came to the borders of the land of Palestine, a place called Kadesh Barnea. And God instructed Moses that 12 men were to be sent into that land to look out the easiest paths that his people might enter the land, because he was going to give it to them. He promised. 12 men went. They came back with tremendous evidence that it was a wonderful land. Tremendous evidence. 10 of those men, they saw difficulties. They saw giants, abnormal, huge men. They said they had chariots of iron, and they live in the mountains, and they'll just destroy us. They'll waylay us. And we'll all be destroyed. We can't go in there. There's just no way that we can get in there. But there were 2 men named Joshua and Caleb. And they tried to still the people, getting all excited and all upset. God's brought us a way out here. And now there's so much difficulty and we can't get into the land where he's promised. And he's going to let us die out here in the wilderness. And these 2 men tried to calm the people. And they said, God will give us that land. He will keep his word. He promised us the land. He will give us the land. The people said, no, we're not going. So they went back to their tents that night. And apparently, quite a number of them thought it over. And they came to Moses in the morning, and they said, we'll go in. We'll go in. But God said, no, you won't. You made your choice, and you'll not go in. And that is the reason that we have this verse that we have mentioned here, that they saw the evidence of God keeping his word for 40 years. And for 38 years, those people wandered without ever entering the land until the last one of those unbelievers died. I saw. They missed it by 1 day. 1 day, God said, you go in, and I'll give it to you. They said, no. And God took them at their word. The next day they wanted it, but they couldn't get it. They missed it by 1 day. Today, now says the apostle by the Spirit of God, We are hearing a message of grace. We are receiving a message of rest. The language of the Savior is pealed forth to mankind today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives rest to the sin-burdened soul, the conscience that is stricken with guilt and a consciousness of their uncleanness before God. Christ gives rest on the basis of his shed blood, satisfying God's claims against our vile sin. The Savior's invitation goes out to mankind. There is forgiveness, God does say, through the blood. Both sin and guilt are put away through the blood, and sinners fitted for the sky, yes, unto God himself brought nigh, made meet to dwell with Christ on high through the blood. And on the basis of that precious blood, shed willingly at Calvary, while the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God sends forth a message of grace. And my friend tonight, the day that we're living in, is the most glorious day that this world has ever seen to date. The day we're living in. It's a day when God is being gracious to sinners who deserve to be punished. When God is offering a pardon, reconciliation, justification, to be made fit for heaven, freely, fully. And it's by grace, and yet men refuse it. What a day! My friend Moses didn't have a day like that, the great man that he was. King David nor King Solomon never had a day like you're having. They never heard a message like you're hearing tonight. And my friend, tonight, with all our heart, we would desire that the message might get into your soul. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, the mighty power that's expressed in those words. Delivering men from the chains of their own sin. Delivering men from the kingdom of the wicked one, even the devil. Delivering men from the road to hell and giving them the assurance of heaven at the last. What grace! What grace! My dear young friend, whatever you do, get in on God's grace. Get down to business tonight. Lay aside all the pride and the prejudice and all the things that you're trying to reason with, and get down to business with God today. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. They missed it by one day. Oh, friend, don't miss it. God's great salvation. God has been saving sinners for eternity in this series of meetings. What a marvelous thing. I often love to think of that, to think of the voices that are going to augment the chorus of glory around the Lord Jesus. What a glorious moment that will be when all the saved ones are gathered home to heaven. And there will be the faces of some from Vancouver who once were on the road to hell, and during the gospel meetings they came to know the Lord Jesus, and their faces will be radiant with glory and their voice sweeter than the song of a bird as they sing to the Lord Jesus for having washed them from their sins in his own blood. That's what God's doing today, friend. He's taking out of this world a people for the Lord Jesus, sinners that deserve to go down to everlasting punishment. God is delivering them. He's forgiving them. He's justifying them freely by his grace. Oh, why is it tonight that you are not anxious to know the possession of everlasting life, God's salvation? Tonight I would like to notice three very simple things in this text that is three times repeated in this chapter which we have read. You can almost feel the pathos and the feeling, the emotion of the writer as by the Spirit of God he pens these words so fittingly, each one of them in a very particular place, guided by the Spirit of God, that it should be preached even in our day. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The first thing I want you to notice is a day that must be respected. And then we will notice very simply a voice that should be respected by men. And thirdly, a warning that should be respected. Today, that's the day to be respected. Not tomorrow, today. Today. Don't forget those people. The day they went to bed saying no, They changed their mind in the morning, but it was too late. It was today that counted. God gave them that day with all its privileges, and they didn't believe God that he would keep his word. They missed it. They missed it by one day. Today, a day to be respected. Now, as we think of the business world that's passed now for another day, the offices have closed. Multi-millions of dollars have changed hands in stock markets today, businesses, by the stroke of a pen. Just today. Just today. Where we're living with Brother Wells, we're staying, as you know, across the road from the cemetery there on Royal Oak. And again today, there was another funeral. And there's a home somewhere. And there's likely a weeping father or a weeping mother or husband or wife. Brokenhearted. Today, they buried their loved one. Today. Oh, the tremendous difference today has made in many lives. Both for time and for eternity. But oh, my friend, tonight, if I could only convey to you in the closing moments of this meeting that today could make the difference between heaven and hell for you. The difference, my friend, between death and life for all eternity. Today. Today. It's proof to me again, friend. We emphasize it whenever we may preach the gospel. God's salvation is not a process you must go through, young man, young woman. God's salvation is not some little step-by-step jigsaw puzzle that you try to put together and you're looking around for another piece and you can't find it. No, no, my friend. The picture's complete. God's salvation is a person that's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He does the delivering. It's His power that breaks the chains of sin. It's His hand that delivers from the kingdom of Satan. It's His blood that He shed at Calvary that cleanses away the vileness of sin, my friend. It's His word that gives the assurance of salvation. It's a person that's trusted for salvation, not a process that you go through and end up something. No, my friend, when the sinner on Jesus doth lean for repose, he never, no, never deserts to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Ah, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for one's salvation, the work that he accomplished, satisfying God, is the basis of the appeal of the gospel tonight. And we appeal to you, friend, whatever you do today, don't pass it by. There isn't a thing in the world. There isn't a reason in your life that you should go away from this meeting tonight on the broad road to eternal darkness. Not a reason. God has removed the barriers. And if you do go away, friend, you'll go away because you've hardened your heart. How solemn to think of the great possibilities of today. Now notice in these texts very simply that today is linked with two things. In our first reading, in chapter 3 and in verse 7, you will notice that it's the Holy Ghost that said today. It's the Spirit of God that says today. And I would just like to apply those two, put those two things together in the application of the gospel tonight, friend. It's the Spirit of God that's dealing with mankind. Oh, what a mercy that God is in this dark world of man's rebellion and his darkness. And his lostness. And what is he doing? He's dealing with men today. People will get saved today. Somewhere in this world, people will respond to the Spirit of God and be led to Christ for salvation today. Oh, to think that God is dealing with mankind. As I look into the face of this audience tonight, there are individuals here, and we have no doubt that the Spirit of God is dealing with you. God has been touching your heart. That's His work. That's why He's in the world. He convinces men of their sin. Some try to hide that because it's an uncomfortable business, admitting that I'm a guilty sinner. If I'm a sinner, that means there's no heaven for me. And if I'm a sinner, that means God can only put me in hell. And I want to tell you, that's hard on man's pride. But I say to you kindly tonight, friend, let God squeeze the pride out of you. For unless you get down to business with God about your sin, you'll never get to know Christ as your Savior. Today,
The Spirit of God is working. Oh, what a mercy. My friend, whatever you do, don't let the day go by. We often find in a series of meetings, the Spirit of God is pleased to move upon mankind. And when the meetings close, the Spirit of God moves on. And he'll go to another set of meetings, or he will move in another place. My friend, it's a time when the Spirit is moving. Bow your heart, dear sinner. Resist no longer. Whatever you do, don't trifle with today. This Friday, the 14th day of March, 1986, God the Spirit is moving upon the souls of men. But you will notice in the fourth chapter, he adds this word. He says, he limiteth the day. He limited. That is, it was an appointed day. That was the day appointed by God. Even the word that's used in the psalm. It's a limited day. Oh, friend, if it were possible tonight, we fain would take you by the hand and lead you to the very brim of eternal fire and hell and allow you to listen tonight to men who miss their day and their lost old solemnity. To hear the awfulness of the wails of the lost. Today, oh friend, don't you miss today. It's a limited day. Your day is limited by a divine appointment. And there's no doubt in our mind that these meetings have been a divine appointment by God that sinners should be saved. And here you are. Others have gotten saved around you. And the blessing of the gospel, they have come to enjoy and embrace and known the Savior. Today, oh sinner, will you stop today? Will you believe God today that the Spirit of God has touched you? Don't resist his tender touch. He loves you. What a mercy it is that he touches any one of us. None of us are worthy. We're all deserving of eternal fire. And God has touched us. May God bow our hearts tonight. Every one of us that are saved might well up our hearts with praise. That God ever crossed our path would have been doomed forever. And young man, young woman, God has crossed your path. And the Holy Ghost said, today, oh, believe him. I remember when God spoke to my soul that Sunday night. I sat in the back seat of my father's old car, an old 29 Essex he had. Little square window in the back right-hand corner. And I sat looking out of that window. There was my father and mother, my brother and sister. They're younger than I am. That is my brother and sister. And as I looked at them, saw the family, the thought came into my mind, Jim Smith, if the Lord Jesus comes tonight, you'll be left to go to hell forever. And you know, there came the thought into my mind as I sat there. If you don't get saved tonight, you're never going to get it. You know, I believe that. I believe that came from God, and I took it to heart. And I want to tell you, when my father came to drive us home that night, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, Dad, I've got to get saved tonight. Let me tell you, friend, in 6 months' time, I lay in a hospital bed with a doctor looking into my face, and he said, young man, you're fortunate to be with us today. I'm absolutely convinced, friend, God spoke to me sitting in the back seat of that old car. And if I hadn't believed him, I'd be in hell right now. And I want to say to you, young man, young woman, when God says today, he means it. He means it. He's the only eye that can see the future. And he means it, friend. Out of deep love for you, he longs to embrace you and bless you with salvation. And he says today. A day to be respected. Oh, sinner, don't let it pass by. A voice to be respected. Listen to my text again. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Oh, the voice of the Savior. What a loving voice it is. So tender, it appeals to sinners. What loving compassion and mercy and patience is expressed in that voice. His voice! His voice! Why, my friend, it's the voice of the Savior who loved them. The one who promised them to bring them into the land, but they didn't heed his voice. What are you doing with the voice of the Savior, dear sinner? I appeal to you now. Forget the rest who are about you. The voice of the Savior has entered your soul again tonight from the text of Luke 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek And to save, oh, I love those words, he came from the brightest of glory. He made his way to Calvary in order to save a miserable, wretched sinner like I know myself to be. Praise his name. He did it all. That's his voice that's calling. The voice of the Savior. The only voice, friend, that can speak your sins forgiven. The only voice that has authority to give you peace with God. The only voice that can give you the assurance that the work of Calvary is enough. It's his voice, friend. His voice. Whatever you do, don't shut out the voice of God, the voice of the Savior. Today, if ye will hear his voice, but I want you to notice that his voice is linked with your will. If ye will hear his voice, that is a very important thing in the gospel preaching. We're very conscious as we preach to you tonight, friend, that you have a will, and it's just very possible that while this day may be given to you of God, you choose to let it go. You have that choice. And our appeal to you tonight is to recognize that his voice you must bow to. I ask you, will you bow to the voice of the Savior? Those people didn't bow. They did not bow to the voice of God when he gave them the promise of his word. I love those words of John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, says the Savior, he that heareth my word, my the precious words of the Christ of God, the only Savior from sin and judgment for dying frail men like us, sinful and vile, the words of the Savior, he that heareth my word and believes God that sent me hath everlasting life. My, how many a soul returned to that verse. And as they read it over, it dawns into their little hearts that the work of Christ was enough for them, and God says it. That's all they need. And taking God at his word, they can say, I have everlasting life. My friend, don't try to reason your way through salvation. Listen to his voice. That's the secret of receiving the assurance of salvation. It isn't reasoning. You can't reason God's salvation. Thank God I don't waste my time trying to reason God's salvation. I just believe it and rejoice in it. Oh, the blessedness and the greatness of God's salvation. My friend, that's why I'm here tonight. Not because I understand a lot about salvation, but I have a great Savior, and my Savior loves you too. And he yearns tonight that you might hear his voice. Listen to him, friend. Listen to his word. Listen to the language of a suffering Savior upon Golgotha's tree. When from the depth of darkness, when God met that sword of justice, plunging it deeply into the soul of the willing Son of God, as he becomes answerable and charged for the awfulness and guilt of man's vile sin upon that tree, he cried, it is finished. Intelligently, consciously, he had finished the work that God desired in salvation, that you and I might hear a voice bringing peace, bringing forgiveness, bringing salvation. Oh, friend, don't waste your time reasoning. It's a ploy of the devil. He's trying to get you to pit your brains against the infinite, and you'll lose. You can't win. But all the simplest of sinners that takes God at his word, his voice, God says, he hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into the judgment, never go to hell, the sinner that trusts the Lord Jesus and takes him at his word. All that work that he accomplished at the cross, God has accepted it, and he proclaims to the world of mankind that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, a voice to be respected. Let me say, friend, oh, can I remind you as I leave this little text that voice may cease to call. That's what happened to those dear people. Oh, how they would have wished, how they would have longed for once more that God would say, go in. Just once more, God, give us one more chance, but they didn't get it. They all died without it. Oh, how awful. They died in their unbelief. Oh, young man, is that what you're going to do? Young woman, are you going to die in your unbelief? You're going to die in your sins? And the Lord Jesus has said, whither I go, ye cannot come. today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As I close the meeting, the warning that is to be respected, harden not your heart. How did they do it? Did they grit their teeth and swear at God? Not at all. Not at all. You know what they did? They went to bed saying, not tonight. That's what they did. They went to bed saying, not tonight. And when they woke up in the morning, it was too late. They hardened their heart. Unbelief. All the difficulties. And all those big giants. And all those hills and valleys. And all those chariots of iron. All the difficulties. Difficulties, my friend, every last difficulty for your everlasting salvation was taken care of at Calvary. You take God at His word, there'll be no difficulties. You'll have everlasting life. But they said, no, not tonight. Not tonight. Oh, solemn words. How many a sinner has said, not tonight. Give me just a little longer. For the world looks now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll be saved. But not tonight. This will be the time, poor sinner, when you stand on death's cold brink. Oh, how solemn. Forever and forever, without a Savior, down to hell, you're sure to sink. Oh, my friend, tonight, we beseech of you, God's Word, we'll endeavor to get set before you tonight the blessedness of this gospel meeting today. If ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, be saved. Be saved tonight. The Savior is willing. God is willing. He's ready to pardon. The precious blood, the price of salvation has been shed. The work is done. The moment you lay down your thinking and turn to Him with your empty hands, God has salvation as a free gift for sinners that turn to Christ. Oh, that you might come today. Dear sinner, I ask you, will you go away today without the Savior? Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, our hearts are heavy as we come to the end of these meetings and we look into the faces of precious souls whom Thou hast loved so greatly, for whom the Savior died and bled upon the cross that they might hear a message of mercy, a message of salvation. And so many nights they have come and gone. We thank Thee for speaking to sinners. We thank Thee that the Holy Spirit of God has been moving. Oh, how precious! The Savior has suffered for the lost, and we thank Thee Thou art willing to receive all that come unto God by Him. We pray then tonight that some may take Thee at Thy word, that it is today or never, that they might be saved. We pray as we thank Thee for Thy patience and bless Thee for the accomplished work of Calvary. In the Lord Jesus' precious name, amen. Now we will sing in closing hymn number 78. We must rise to sing this because of the chairs. So we will be pleased to sing hymn number 78, and this meeting is dismissed.